The title for today's devotion is We Are Saved to Serve. This is the last in the series, which I have entitled The Four Corners of the Christian Faith. When we have received Jesus into our heart through the Holy Spirit living inside our heart, it will be our growing desire to understand more about the Christian faith by reading the Bible, which is the inspired Word of God. We will also want to keep an open dialogue with Jesus by praying to him. His desire is for each of us to have a closer, loving relationship with him. Moses was referred to as the friend of God. He was one of the great leaders in the Old Testament. It will be our desire to share our newfound faith with others. And as we get to understand more about living the Christian life, we will develop the desire to serve God in some way or other, the gift God has already prepared for us. Let us remind ourselves of those all-important words Jesus said to his disciples just before he went back up into heaven. We read in Matthew 28:19-20, Therefore, go and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and the Holy Spirit, and teach them to obey everything I have commanded you. And surely I am with you always, to the very end of the age. Surely this must be our chief mission, to preach the gospel and disciple new Christians. In the first devotion, at the start of the year, we saw the need to be born again. This is the essence of the gospel message. Jesus said in John 3:3, Very truly I tell you, no one can see the kingdom of God unless they are born again. In the last two devotions, I gave an outline to the way we should read our Bible and to pray. The title of this devotion is We Are Saved to Serve, emphasizing what the Apostle Paul said in Ephesians 2:10. For we are God's handiwork, created in Christ Jesus to do good works, which God prepared in advance for us to do. Our lifestyle should pre-portray who we are. We read what Jesus said in Matthew 5:14-16. You are the light of the world. A town built on a hill cannot be hid. Neither do people light a lamp and put it under a bowl. Instead, they put it on a stand, and it gives light to everyone in the house. In the same way, let your light shine before others, that they may see your good deeds and glorify your Father in heaven. Just before we discuss the subject of serving, I want us to take us to the scripture which tells us about Philip leading an Ethiopian eunuch to the Lord. Philip approached the eunuch while he was reading from Isaiah 53. We read the account in Acts 8:30-39. Then Philip ran up to the chariot and heard the man reading Isaiah the prophet. Do you understand what you're reading? Philip asked. How can I, he said, unless someone explains it to me. So he invited Philip to come up and sit with him. This is the passage of scripture the eunuch was reading. He was led like a sheep to the slaughter, and like a lamb before its shearer is silent, so he did not open his mouth. In his humiliation, he was deprived of justice. Who can speak of his descendants, for his life was taken from the earth? The eunuch asked Philip, tell me, please, who is the prophet talking about, himself or someone else? Then Philip began with that very passage of scripture and told him the good news about Jesus. As they travelled along the road, they came to some water, and the eunuch said, look, here is water. What can stand in the way of me being baptized? And he gave orders to stop the chariot. Then both Philip and the eunuch went down into the water, and Philip baptized him. Then Philip ran to the chariot and heard the man reading Isaiah the prophet. Do you understand what you're reading? Philip asked. How can I, he said, unless someone explains it to me. So he invited Philip to come up and sit with him. This is a passage of scripture the eunuch was reading. He was led like a sheep to the slaughter, and as a lamb before the shearer is silent, so he did not open his mouth. In his humiliation he was deprived of justice. Who can speak of his descendants, for his life was taken from the earth? The eunuch asked him, please tell me what the prophet's talking about, himself or someone else. Then Philip began with that very passage of scripture and told him the good news about Jesus. As they travelled along the road, they came to some water. And the eunuch said, look, here is water. What can stand in the way of me being baptized? And he gave orders to stop the chariot. Then Philip and the eunuch went down into the water, and Philip baptized him. Philip, having led the eunuch to the Lord Jesus, explained to the eunuch that he needed to be baptized. This was an important act of witness. It is an example Jesus made when he asked John the Baptist to baptize him. Jesus also included baptism in his Great Commission, which you have just read in Matthew 28:19. Make disciples of all nations, baptizing them. Baptism is an outward witness to a transformation within. Baptism symbolizes your new birth or new beginning in becoming a Christian. For when you go down into the water by total immersion, you are burying the past, so that when you come up out of the water, you are raised to new life. Just like Jesus did, it is a public witness to your friends, those who are yet not Christians, and that you are now a follower of Jesus and have given your heart to him, as well as those who are Christians. Let us read again what Jesus said just before ascending into heaven in Matthew 28:18-19. Then Jesus came to them and said, all authority in heaven on earth has been given to me. Therefore go and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, and teaching them to observe everything I have commanded you, and surely I am with you always to the very end of the age. When we give our life to Jesus, Jesus will have through the power of the Holy Spirit transformed and given us a new heart. We will no longer want to pursue the former things in our past. The Holy Spirit will give us a thirst to know him better, but also a thirst to tell others of what God has done in our life. Yet, having said that, in order that the Church of God runs effectively, we will come to realize that not every new Christian is cut out to be an evangelist. God in his wisdom has given each of us a special gift. The Church of Christ needs Christians of different giftings for it to function correctly. The Apostle Paul, writing to the Christians in Corinth, explained the way God gives to each one of us gifts. We read in 1 Corinthians 12:1-20. Now about the gifts of the Spirit, brothers and sisters, I do not want you to be uninformed. You know that when you were pagans, somehow or other, you were influenced and led astray by mute idols. Therefore, I want you to know that no one who is speaking by the Spirit of God says Jesus be cursed, and no one can say Jesus is Lord, except by the Holy Spirit. There are different kinds of gifts, but the same Spirit distributes them. There are different kinds of service, but the same Lord. There are different kinds of working, but in all of them and in everything, it is the same God at work. Now to each one, the manifestation of the Spirit is given for the common good. To one, there is given through the Spirit a message of wisdom. To another, a message of knowledge by means of the same Spirit. To another, faith by the same Spirit. And to another, gifts of healing by that one Spirit. To another, miraculous powers. To another, prophecy. to another distinguishing between spirits, to another speaking in different kinds of tongues, and still another interpretation of tongues. All these are the work of one and the same Spirit, and he distributes them to each one just as he determines. Just as the body, though one, has many parts, but all its many parts form one body, so it is with Christ, for we are all baptized by one Spirit so as to form one body, whether Jew or Gentile, slave or free, and we were all given the one Spirit to drink. Even so, the body is not made up of one part, but of many. Now, if the foot should say, because I am not a hand, I do not belong to the body, it would not for the reason stop being part of the body. And if the ear should say, because I am not the eye, I do not belong to the body, it would not for that reason stop being part of the body. If the whole body were an eye, where would the sense of hearing be? If the whole body was an ear, where would the sense of smell be? But in fact, God has placed the parts in the body, every one of them, just as he wants them to be. If they were all one part, where would the body be? As it is, there are many parts, but one body. The eye cannot say to the hand, I don't need you, and the head cannot say to the feet, I don't need you. On the contrary, these parts of the body that seem to be weaker are indispensable, and the parts that we think are less honourable, we treat with special honour, and the parts that are unpresentable are treated with special modesty. While our presentable parts need not special treatment, but God has put the body together, giving greater honour to the parts that lacked it, so that there should be no divisions in the body, but that its parts should have equal concern for each other. If one part suffers, every part with it will suffer with it. If one part is honoured, every part rejoices with it. Now, you are the body of Christ, and each one of you is part of it. And God has placed in the church, first of all, apostles, second, prophets, third, teachers, then miracles, then gifts of healing, of helping, of guidance, and of different kind of tongues. Are all apostles? Are all prophets? Are all teachers? Do all work miracles? Do all gifts of healing? Do all speak in tongues? Do all interpret? No. Eagerly desire the greatest gifts. God has ordained, even before time, the gifts each one of us has been allotted. These gifts can be practical as well as spiritual. In the Old Testament, we read concerning the building of the tabernacle, the large tent of meeting. God told Moses to appoint certain members of the Israelite community to build the tabernacle. We read in Exodus 31, 1-7, Then the Lord said to Moses, See, I have chosen Bezalel, the son of Uri, the son of Hur, of the tribe of Judah. And I have filled him with the Spirit of God, with wisdom and understanding, with knowledge and with all kinds of skills, to make artistic designs for work in gold, silver and bronze, to cut and set stones, to work in wood, and to engage in all kinds of crafts. Moreover, I have appointed Oholib, son of Hashmach, of the tribe of Dan, to help him. Also, I have given ability to all the skilled workers to make everything I have commanded you. The tent of meeting, the Ark Covenant Law, with the atonement cover on it, and all the other furnishings of the tent. Later on, we read in Exodus 36, 1 and 2, So Bezalel, Oholiab, and every skilled person to whom the Lord had given skill and ability to know how to carry out all the works of constructing the sanctuary are to do the work just as the Lord has commanded. Then Moses summoned Bezalel and Oholib and every skilled person to whom the Lord had given ability and who was willing to come and do the work. When they had finished the building the tabernacle, God appointed spiritual leaders to head up the work and to run the everyday activities in the tabernacle. Of the 12 tribes of Israel, he chose the family of Levi to carry out the duties of running the tabernacle. With Moses, brother Aaron, being appointed high priest, and other members of his family to carry out all the other duties in the tabernacle. We read what God instructed Moses in Exodus 28:1-3. Have Aaron, your brother, brought to you from among the Israelites, along with his sons, Nadab and Abihu, Eleazar and Ithamar, so that they may serve me as priests. Make sacred garments for your brother Aaron, to give him dignity and honour. Tell all the skilled workers to do what I have given wisdom in such matters, that they are to make garments for Aaron for his consecration, so he may serve me as priest. The format and principles of what God told Moses is like a stencil or pattern for how God expects the church and God's people to work. Within the body of the church, each one who is born again will fill a specific role or gift God appoints individually. We read what the Apostle Paul said to the young Timothy in 2 Timothy 1:6-7. For this reason, I remind you to fan into the flame the gift of God, which is in you, through the laying on of my hand. For the Spirit God gave us does not make us timid, but gives us power, love, and self-discipline. It may be the gift God has given you is of a practical nature. We read in Romans 12:4-8. For just as each of us has one body with many members, and those members do not all have the same function, so in Christ we, though many, form one body, and each member belongs to all the others. We have different gifts according to the grace given to each one of us. If your gift is prophesying, then prophesy according with your faith. If it's serving, then serve. If it's teaching, then teach. If it's to encourage, then give encouragement. If it is giving, then give generously. If it is to lead, do it diligently. If it is to show mercy, do it cheerfully. We also read in 1 Corinthians 12:4-6, there are different kinds of gifts, but the same Spirit distributes them. There are different kinds of service, but the same Lord. There are different kinds of workings, but in all of them and in every one, it is the same God at work. Now to each one, the manifestation of the Spirit is given for the common good. To one there is given through the Spirit a message of wisdom, to another the message of knowledge by means of the same Spirit, to another faith by the same Spirit, to another gifts of healing by the one Spirit, to another miraculous powers, to another prophecy, to another distinguishing between spirits, to another speaking in different kind of tongues, and still to others interpretation of tongues. All these are work of the one and same Spirit, and he distributes them to each one just as he determines. The Apostle continues in 1 Corinthians 12:27-31, now you are the body of Christ, and each one of you is part of it. And God has placed in the church, first of all, apostles, second prophets, third teachers, then miracles, then gifts of healing, of helping, of guidance, and of different kinds of tongues. Are all apostles? Are all prophets? Are all teachers? Do all work in miracles? Do all have gifts of healing? Do all speak in tongues? Do all interpret? Discovering your gifts can come quite naturally. We develop a desire and find it a pleasure doing a particular task or in serving others. When asked by young Christians, when do I know what gift God has given me? There is a simple answer. Do you enjoy what you are doing? And does it encourage and bless those you are serving? You will find it a joy to serve in the gifts God has given you. The Holy Spirit will inspire you. You will feel and know God's help and pleasure in what you're doing. Once we have discovered the gift God has given us, the apostle finishes this chapter with a very clear and important statement. We read in 1 Corinthians 12:27 to 31, "Now eagerly desire the greater gifts, and yet I will show you the most excellent way." So, what is that most excellent way? We need to read what the apostle tells us in the next chapter, 1 Corinthians 13:1-3. "If I speak in the tongues of men and angels, but do not have love, I am only a resounding gong or a clanging cymbal. If I have the gift of prophecy and can fathom all mysteries and all knowledge, and if I have a faith that can move mountains, but do not have love, I am nothing. If I give all my possessions to the poor and give my body to hardship that I may boast, but do not have love, I gain nothing." In order to carry out and fulfill the gift God has given us effectively, we need energy, both physical and spiritual. The spiritual energy we need comes from God. We need the empowering of the Holy Spirit to carry out those gifts and tasks God sets before us. We need to have the anointing of the Holy Spirit to be effective, yet undergirding that power and energy and be effective, we need to carry out our giftings with the rich love of God. In whatever way we serve, whether in the practical way or a spiritual way, there should be an aroma of God's love sharing everyone we serve. We read in 2 Corinthians 2:14-15. "But thanks be to God, who always leads us as captives in Christ's triumphant procession and uses us to spread the aroma of knowledge of him everywhere. For we are God to God, the pleasing aroma of Christ among those who are being saved and those who are perishing." As Paul says, it is God's love which will be the energy under the power and authority of the Holy Spirit. So let us remind ourselves again of what we have just read in 1 Corinthians 12:31. "Now eagerly desire the greatest gift, and yet I will show you the most excellent way." It is ministering and being motivated by the love of God, the energy and oxygen of God driving and propelling our soul, through which we will be most effective. The Apostle Paul encourages by saying in 1 Peter 2:9, "But you are a chosen people, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, God's special possession, that you may declare the praises of him who called you out of darkness into his wonderful light." We can proclaim God's goodness and greatness, not just by telling, but by just being ourselves. Our lives can be a witness in itself. The Apostle Paul says again in 2 Corinthians 3:2-3, "You yourselves are our letter, written on our hearts, known and read by everyone. You show that you are a letter from Christ, the result of our ministry, written not with the ink, but with the Spirit of the living God, not on tablets of stone, but on tablets of human hearts." The Apostle Paul tells us, what these unspoken ways are under the power of the Holy Spirit in Galatians 5:22-23. But the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, forbearance, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. Against such things there is no law. Let us heed the words to the hymn composed by James Seddon. Go forth and tell, O Church of God, awake! God's saving news to all the nations take. Proclaim Christ Jesus, Saviour, Lord and King, that all the world his worthy praise may sing. Go forth and tell. God's love embraces all. He will in grace respond to all call. How shall they call if they have never heard the gracious invitation of his word? Go forth and tell. Where still the darkness lies, in wealth or want, the sinner surely dies. Give us, O Lord, concern of heart and mind, a love like yours, which cares for all mankind. Go forth and tell. The doors are open wide. God's gift, let no one be denied. Live out your life as Christ your Lord shall choose. Your ransom power for his soul glory use. Go forth and tell, O Church of God, arise. Go in the strength with Christ your Lord supplies. Go till all nations his great name adore and serve him Lord and King for evermore. Amen.